drinking. I'm Kevin Regan.
I'm Ryan Maley.
And this is the podcast where we drink beer, we watch movies, and we talk about them.
And I get hammered.
That's right. This week we are watching that movie you heard about last week that was on my Ashamed I Haven't Seen list. It will no longer be, if we did the same podcast next week, it would not be on my list. Because we're watching Blade Runner. Because
The Shining would be on it.
That's true. We were talking at lunch today, and The Shining should have been on my list because I haven't seen it. But we have an announcement to make about The Shining.
This is exciting for me.
So first of all, we're going to watch Blade Runner tonight, and we're going to do top five.
We're going to watch all five discs.
That's right. The five-disc Blu-ray dish.
That's a lot of information.
That's a lot of versions.
Yeah.
But we're going to watch that. We're doing top five sci-fi movies. And the sci-fi movies
cannot have Star Wars or Star Trek on them.
That's right, because if you look at the lists,
one's in purgatory and one's in the Hall of Fame. And one's in the Hall of Shame.
Not the Hall of Fame. Just can't touch this list.
Can't touch this fame.
It's the Critical Drinking branded.
Mm-hmm.
Can't touch this list. But yeah, so that's what we're going to be watching tonight. However, we have an announcement for upcoming podcast. I'm going to let Ryan.
This is what I'm excited about. So we did series month a while ago. We're doing a new month. Well, the months always come up. But
it's the same month.
For October, we're going to do horror month. We're going to dedicate the whole month to our favorite porns. It's going to be so good. Brie Olsen Point of View is going to be number one on all my lists.
That's right.
Actually, we're going to do scary movies.
Yeah.
And
horror.
Horror else. I want a horror or else. And this is going to be exciting. Week one, we're going to do... You can say it.
Oh, yeah. Week one, we're going to do vampire movies.
Mm-hmm. We're going to watch Let the Right One In.
That's right.
One of our favorites.
Week two, we're going to do...
Zambie movies.
That's right.
Movies from Zambia.
And we're probably going to watch... A movie that...
I'll talk about later.
Okay, that we'll talk about later.
And then third week is like paranormal stuff. So like ghosts and...
Supernatural. Kind of fills in the blanks on all those other categories.
Ghosts, alien,
evil
hauntings,
spirits,
exorcisms.
Exactly. And then our fourth...
It's going to be the scariest movies according to us.
That's right.
And not of the decade like we did ever.
And we're probably going to watch The Exorcist because it's the easiest to do.
Yeah.
Or...
Well, you haven't seen The Shining.
That's right.
And you haven't seen the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's true. However, I could catch up on both of those during that month. So we'll see.
Hopefully with me because I love horror movies.
That's right. So it's Ryan's brainchild. I think it's a fantastic idea. So
It's October. It's starting to get dark.
That's right. So if there's anyone that wants to pitch in on those...
or wants to reserve a spot to guest host.
That's right. Let us know.
They go like hotcakes.
Hotcakes. Hotcakes. All right. So now let's get into this week. We didn't have a poll. It was basically the same poll. So if you voted on it, hooray. Good for you. But
way to go.
It doesn't matter. We'll try and have a poll up, a new poll
we,
up.
We can do a sci-fi
tonight.
Related
yeah.
poll.
We'll Easy. Have a sci-fi poll up tonight. So this week, feel free to vote on the poll.
I know a good one, but I'll let you see the movie first before I ask you.
But yeah, head over to, it'll probably be up by the time this podcast is up, criticaldrinkingpodcast.blogspot.com. But for this week's episode, we have some feedback.
A lot. Yeah. Sci-fi gets the blood running in the fans.
That's right. Yeah. So on our Facebook page, facebook.com/criticaldrinking.
I like turtles.
we posted that this week's episode is going to be Blade Runner and top five sci-fi movies. It's obviously going to be a bit tougher given that we can't have Star Wars or Star Trek. But we asked the question.
Just 1 minute. 1 second.
Yeah.
We're sitting across from each other because we're trying to do dual mics.
Yeah, we're still doing dual mics.
And I've touched Kevin's toe with my toe about 6 times already.
It's gotten,
and let's just say
it's gotten
that
very erotic
the thing, there's a table here.
It's gotten very soft.
I want
in
the
here.
Fans to see.
I don't know if you guys can see this, here. But Ryan's got a shirt. It's white. You can totally see through it.
No, I know.
I've been staring at his nips for like 6 minutes.
I was
going
to wear this to the
now.
Restaurant, and then I was like, uh-oh.
6 minutes.
You know what? They're going to give me tips if
it's
I wear this.
It's very soft core in here. Even got the butt flap. It's like it's a onesie.
Remember those like long johns that they have like the butt flap?
Yeah, you have it on. Of course I know. You're wearing
I gotta take a dump. Let me unbutton this.
Yeah, but it's too chilly out here for outhouses and stuff. And I was about to say and shit, but you know, yeah, I guess
shit. All right, let's get to our.
But yeah, so there's feedback. We asked you what would be on your list of top five sci-fi movies, and we got a good listing of pretty diverse group of movies.
Yeah, especially our first one.
Yeah, so I'll let you.
I'm besmirched by this one. Mr. Spiker said that number five would be Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, followed by Scanner Darkly, Serenity, Invasion of the Body Snatchers original, and 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Those are kind of all over the board.
Yes, Jake.
Yeah, I would expect this as much.
They're no
from
Jonah
Jake.
Hex, but I
Jake,
understand.
Jake had a little joking beef with my Armageddon and
a mock
Michael
movie
Bay.
Reviewer
and my Michael Bay. American movie.
It'd be a good thing to look over. It's in the discussion.
It's in the discussions. Yeah, Jake wrote a nice.
He brought
comeback.
The hammer down.
He did. Jake brought the hammer. He can give it to himself this week. Second entry was from Steve Lombardi up in Bellevue, Washington. He says Mars Attacks is the best sci-fi movie hands down. You'd be hard pressed to argue with him.
There might not be a better sci-fi cast.
That's true. Yeah, there would be.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, there might not be.
Jack Nicholson. Natalie Portman. Jack Nicholson. Who else is in that fucking movie?
Michael Clark Duncan is in that movie.
And
Wayne Newton is
Annette
in that
Bening,
movie.
Annette Bening, isn't she the crazy
Tom
person?
Jones is in that movie.
It's not unusual to get blowjobs from everyone.
That kid who looks like the son from Independence Day is in that movie, except weirder. The granny is in that movie.
The kid that is at the beginning of Inception that gets taken away because he screwed up the carpet.
True.
He's in it.
That guy's in it, yeah. Yeah, so Mars Attacks is a good movie.
It is a great movie.
Might have to bring Steve down here and he can guest host Mars Attacks.
I like it.
That'd be fantastic. Next, Chris Parr, one of our longtime listeners, says that I realize that minus Star Wars, I'm not a huge sci-fi fan.
Go Star Wars.
I'm not a huge sci-fi fan.
Go
well,
Star Wars.
Maybe I am, but I haven't seen Blade Runner and a lot of other, quote, classic sci-fi, unquote, films. That being said, here's my list. Number five, this pleased Ryan, Galaxy Quest.
Oh,
this would also please Jake. I'm sure he read it.
Yeah, Jake, I'm a little upset it's not on your top five. I put Maverick in my top westerns.
You put it as number one.
I put it as my best western, not The Hotel. Jake, I expect you to put Galaxy Quest in sci-fi for all of us.
That's right. Number four on Chris's list was 2001, A Space Odyssey. Number three was E.T. Number two was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which got me thinking a little bit. Like, is that science fiction? And I mean, that's on kind of one of the edges of science fiction. We'll talk about that later. But there are a few, you know, there are rules to what is and what isn't sci-fi. And this one would have pushed my boundary, so it's not going to show up on my list.
Same with me.
And then his number one is the same sort of thing, Inception.
Yeah.
Which, great movie. We've talked about it.
I just have this own idea of science fiction in my mind. Mm-hmm. And like looking at lists, some people put it on. Like the IMDb top, you know, best science fiction, this is on it.
And well, let's just say science fiction.
It's your own idea, but for me, it's futuristic, and I know it could be in the future. And I guess science has a lot of different meanings to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just something that's, to me, unbelievable.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. It's
science fiction to me.
It's a feeling.
First of all, there's a distinct difference between science fiction and fantasy.
Yeah,
there's a huge difference. Fantasy,
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, science fiction doesn't involve magic. Science fiction doesn't involve like, you know, unrealistic planets and situations. Science fiction doesn't involve, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so, like Lord of the Rings, exactly. Would not be able, you know, you couldn't put that on this list because as fiction as it is and as maybe its own world, it's scientific.
Yeah.
It's not science fiction. I also think that to be science fiction, though, on the other hand, like the opposite hand of fantasy, it can't be too real. Like there has to be some sort of, you know, it has to be fiction.
Yes.
And so for me, a movie like Inception, it's...
Feels like it's right now with one different thing being that they can...
it can get inside your head.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's real because, I mean, in a dream, that's, you know, real. We dream. It's just so a movie
you
within
dream,
a
Kevin.
A movie
I
with,
plan.
But you know, a movie within a dream. That's awesome. Maybe you dream. I plan. Constantly working up here. But you know what I mean? It's like it's too real life. It's too, hey, this might be possible. It's you know, it's not extended enough from reality.
Yeah.
It's not fiction enough. And so that's my feeling on that. But anyways, you know, a lot of people consider both of those movies science fiction.
Exactly.
And so you know,
I just personally don't have it on my list. They're both very excellent movies.
Next, John Ryder, who I haven't heard from since college. Writes in and says, 5 more movies. He obviously had read up the list and said, okay, I'm going to give you movies that haven't been mentioned yet. He says his number 5 is The Lathe of Heaven.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it either. John, you might have to write in and explain what that is. Give us some background. Give us maybe a mini review. Number 4, Aliens. He put the S on there, so that means the Cameron version. Number 3, District 9.
Good movie.
Yep, recent. Number 2, RoboCop.
Yeah.
And number 1, Solaris from 1972.
Not the George Clooney edition.
Not the Clooney edition. And
he writes, any list without Solaris is
incomplete.
I'm just letting you know right now, my list is incomplete.
Yep, mine too.
Sorry.
It's on Instant. It's on Netflix Instant.
Yeah.
Watch instantly. So I'm going to catch up with it. I haven't yet. So my list may also be incomplete. Jake Laminack. Also writes in, says, in any order of the not already listed, he says The Fifth Element.
Oh, my gosh.
Which might be fantasy to me.
Yeah.
It might be because there's, I mean,
I totally forgot about
it. Total borderline. He says Predator, or actually he says Predators, so he must mean the Adrian Brody movie.
The Topher Grace movie.
Oh,
please.
Sorry. Independence Day, Terminator, War of the Worlds, the original one. Blade Runner and Pitch Black. Mm-hmm. Ryan's Pitch Black from last episode. No, from
Riddick.
2 episodes ago?
That's Chronicles of Riddick.
Sorry.
Pitch Black came out in February, so it couldn't
be. That's right. Oh, it was last episode, yeah. No, 2 episodes ago. And last but not least, Maddie C. weighs in extremely late to the party for a Maddie C. post. Yeah. He says...
House of China or something like that.
He says...
It was House of China. Maybe he went to a school club.
He says Blade Runner, Terminator 2... Aliens, Minority Report, and Event Horizon. Cameron films and dick adaptations dominate my list, he says.
Dick adaptation. It's like a penis, but I'm going to just adapt.
But let's, so that is our feedback. We appreciate all the feedback. It's actually awesome to see these lists. A few of these picks inspired.
I got a feeling that we're
going to
get a lot of lists like this when we do Whore Month.
That's right. So thank you for the feedback. Feel free to go to the Facebook page and keep posting. But now I believe it's time to go watch this movie. So let's do predictions.
Yeah. I feel like kind of like
this movie is 117.
I feel like poop, like I'm sick, but, I'm going to go ahead with, 5 just to be safe.
All right. I'll say the same. I was going to say 5 to begin with. So you stole it, but.
All right, I'm doing 11 then.
Okay, I'm going to stick with 5. So let's go watch Blade Runner.
All right, see ya.
Bye. In your own side of the table, you can deal with your shit on your own side. Just cover it up. Don't worry, he spilled. So we just watched Blade Runner. It was my first time. As Ryan's, what would you say it was your time?
Second and a half time. I saw it when I was young. I saw it in a car. First time I've seen it in a system.
Yeah, an actual surround sound environment with a
and on Blu-ray on the 5-disc Blu-ray.
It actually looked really good. Is this
really good?
I heard that this was one of the first DVDs to market, and they kind of rushed it. And on the regular DVD version, it was kind of just a shitty audio and video transfer that didn't do any justice to the movie. And so on Blu-ray, they made sure, regardless of the five-disc thing,
David Justice.
Like, yeah, the actual movie, they made sure that they did it right. And did all the graphics.
A couple years of Blu-ray, it was like rated like, because I didn't get a Blu-ray, or my family did not get a Blu-ray player until like a year or two into the game.
Yeah.
It was rated the number one Blu-ray you have to have.
And it's good.
It looks well.
We didn't even go into any special features or anything either, but no, it looked really good.
We didn't even get to disc.
And it sounded good. It sounded good, too.
It did.
So, I guess first we got to get into our prediction results. This, remember, might be like the only the second episode I've ever remembered to go into our prediction results. Ryan.
I said 5. I think I did 6.
I think you did 6. Yep.
Yeah.
Just correct 7. I said 5. I stuck with 5. I probably could have done 6, but I didn't want to because...
They never got it from the couch.
I listened. Yeah.
Someone else went and got it for them the whole damn time. That's what sucks about being ahead is it always means get something else for someone else.
Mm-hmm. But I listened back...
He's just savvy. He's just savvy.
I listened back to last episode. It got a little sloppy after our 8 beers and... In 2 hours.
What episode was that?
It's got a little sloppy. 30.
All right. That one.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little sloppy, so I wanted to...
2 hours of sloppiness.
I wanted to unslop it, if you will.
Wet everywhere. That's how sloppy it was.
Yeah.
That needs to be recorded.
That was recorded. Believe it or not, that was recorded.
That needs to be...
We are... I don't know. Ryan, cue lights and action. You're on. You're on, Ryan.
We're actually recording live?
The last 5 minutes, but, I mean... Okay.
Wait a minute, I thought that we just talked to each other microphones.
Full sound while we do. And then we record it in separate rooms, then we listen back to it later to each other. Yeah, it's fun. It's good stuff.
I like that.
All right, so let me get into my review first, because I haven't seen it. So here's my review. First of all, minor point, the Blu-ray should have included an updated score. Because the score was ridiculously dated to the 80s. It was like the synths and the total Top Gun-esque soundtrack kind of took me out of a lot of those scenes where it was score heavy.
Oh.
Like where it was just traveling scenes, really. Or it was atmosphere scenes. I mean...
Well, you don't update a score.
No, I know. That was not an actual recommendation.
Okay.
I'm just saying, the score is very dated, which took me out of it into an 80s movie. You know what I mean? 80s movies have that kind of feel. This felt like that to me.
Ultimately made it better, because it's an 80s movie. And we all know that the greatest achievements of all time happened in the 80s.
Well, that's true.
Like Boy Genius.
And you were born and I was born. Think about that.
That's an achievement.
Think about that. Adam, by the way, is in the house.
He's in the background.
You just hear him crack a beer.
You know it's awesome when Adam comes and goes, "What is this, Blade Runner?" Oh, man, I haven't seen this one, but I have the sequel.
Yeah.
Something, I didn't even know there was a Blade Runner 2. Owns it, Blade Runner 2. Instant. Edge of Human.
The Edge of Human. Well, 95.
11 or 12 years later, we have the sequel. I haven't even heard of it.
No one has.
That's just classic.
That is. That's classic.
Yeah. Man, Kiss of Death.
That's a classic. Formula 51, baby. Formula 51. That episode is episode Unlucky 13. Anyways, but really, right off the bat, I realized that Harrison Ford was going to carry this movie because Harrison Ford is so good in every movie he was in. And I really wish back...
Until 95.
Yeah. I really wish back then, in his prime age, he would have done, like, every movie he was ever offered because it would have killed. Like, he has such a presence on screen, and it pays off so much. I don't know if I'm biased because I grew up with, like, Indiana Jones.
He's awesome.
I grew up with Han Solo, and he's two of my favorite characters in
the
movies.
Harrison Ford is the lead actor of our time.
Yeah.
It sucks that our time is post-1995.
Yeah. It's too late.
Ever since the one with his wife, Kristen Scott,
yeah.
Random Hearts or whatever it was called.
Don't worry about that.
Hollywood Homicide with Josh Hartnett.
He's not worried about that one.
Firewall with Paul Bettany.
No one has ever seen that one.
Desperate Measures with Brendan Fraser.
I don't think anyone's heard of that one.
Harrison, they'll give you something awesome. Like, you need someone to, like, edit or filter what you can choose from or filter your choices.
Not back then, but now you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the next thing I wanted to say, these are just nitpicky points. I guess I'll give an overall impression of the movie. I thought this movie was, it had a really good atmosphere. Like, it brought you into that time really well. The opening scene with Harrison Ford in, like, the, just the streets in, like, a walk-up, you know, sushi bar.
Spewing around.
There was. But I guess that's what the future entails. That's what the future holds for us. It's just a lot of fire-spewing buildings and things. It's just how it has to happen. Because, you know, I mean, to produce stuff in the future, we have to just spew fire everywhere. But I also thought they were really good set pieces. They were very original, and they were really engaging as backgrounds, almost.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Like, I was very drawn in a lot of shots to what was around the actors, not the actors.
Like the L.A. gear eyes. Kids had L.A. gear eyes.
Not what I was talking about, but I suppose. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's an engaging background, engaging set pieces that kind of...
Advertising, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Those cut scenes, especially, I don't know if you call them cut scenes, but the scenes in between, you know, where it's no actors on screen, they're kind of transitioning between the scenes, really, really good. It looked really good on Blu-ray, too. So I liked this movie. That's my overall impression. I want to see a prequel to it, though, because when he comes in, you know, first scene you meet him, he's basically getting arrested, or so we think, and he's brought into the police station. And
he's the best at what he does. They need the best.
Right, they need the best, and he's like, you know, I knew you wouldn't come if I just asked.
And that's what he's like.
And then he's like, okay, well, you know, I've been done, and I'll continue to be done. And he says, well, why don't you come back? From being done? Oh, okay. But apparently he was this amazing, you know, I guess Blade cop. Yeah, he's this amazing Blade Runner beforehand. I want to see that. I want to see the Harrison Ford just going around kicking ass. That's what I want.
And not taking names.
Zero names taken. Because it would be computer names and it would be replicant names. I don't want that. Next, this is something you and I both commented on during the movie, so I'm stealing the thunder from you. He gets basically beat up, I think probably the first time, he gets beat up, and he escapes because, what's his name, the guy who slaps him in the face?
Leroy,
yeah, because Leroy beats him up, but then gets shot through the head.
Yeah.
And one of the best, like, well, I don't even know how to explain the scene, but... It cuts from that to him taking a shot, because he's kind of an alcoholic in this movie.
Yes.
Takes a shot, but it's only a half shot, because he kind of stops in the middle of it, and then, like, blood comes out into the other half.
Like a drift of blood. Like, yeah. Just a...
Like, you know how blood looks in water?
Yeah.
When it's
and
like,
I've never noticed that before. It was
looked really cool. And I mentioned to you, and you noticed even before I told you that, we've never seen that in another movie.
Nothing like that.
Like, it just, it's that, it's very minor. If it wasn't in there, it probably wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was so visually well done. And then you're like, wow. You know, that just
that was
completes.
Cool. Because, like, he was really bleeding or something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it wasn't like a obscure, like.
It wasn't like, oh, they smeared red paint on his face.
Yeah. It was just. Spread like blood, like it's just it worked perfect.
Yeah,
that was cool.
It was very good.
He got the other half of the shot later. Don't worry. So he
right.
drank
no,
his
he, he took it. He took it. He did leave a fallen soldier on his own chest when he passed out.
That's all right.
However, I assume he drank it when he woke up.
He spilled it. But I assume he probably zambonied it off.
That's right. Last thing I want to mention is. The actress who plays, I guess.
Kevin caught this. I had no idea.
I guess Harrison Ford's kind of love interest, the one that they, at the beginning, they're like, is she or Sean isn't Young's she?
Her name. Yeah, Sean is her name.
Yeah. Is she or isn't she a replicant? I know she is, but Harrison Ford is kind of falls in love with her. That's Einhorn. That's Finkel and Einhorn. It's
from Ray Ventura. Finkel.
And Lois Einhorn.
Say hello to Mr. Winky. That's awesome.
But yeah, that was the one thing I noticed towards the end of the movie.
So great.
That just I couldn't get over it after that. So sorry, Blade Runner, that I saw you after I saw Ace Ventura.
She showed up like for two scenes after that, so it wasn't like a huge.
Yeah, but it was huge. Anyways, that's my review. I thought it was a very atmospheric and well done sci-fi movie.
Very science fiction.
Very science fiction-y. It reminded me
at the time of what we think of science fiction was. You look at all right. those drawings, you know, that became big kind of art at the in the 70s, oh, yeah. or 60s and 70s, you know, in the War of the Worlds, Heinlein, like we talked about, yep. era
yep.
of like, what is the future going to look like in year 2000? Oh, yeah. You know, and this movie was very spot on to that.
Yeah. Wish I would have seen it when it came out, when I was never born.
Well, you would have not seen that version.
Yeah, well, that's true. We watched the final cut, not the original theatrical cut.
One thing I really enjoy about this movie that I think's different. Some other movies do it, but they don't do it so subtly. That makes the future look really, really bleak and like cold and boring. It's really unnerving. It's almost dreary.
Yeah.
You know, if you compare it to like 2001 or some other movies like that, where I know they're in space and this isn't in space, but it's so clean and bright and like white and all.
Even like 1138 or whatever, THX 1138. Yeah. Yeah. It's like all white.
This is. There's trash everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's raining constantly. It's just kind of a sad future.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Definitely a bleak outlook.
And some of the music, I understand what you're saying. But half of it with like the kind of like the beeps and the boops, I don't know how to say it. It was really very sci-fi. It reminded me of standing in line at Space Mountain. Which sounds weird, but you know, they have like the like the sonar sound and like the stuff like that. It was cool having that.
I agree, definitely.
Ray Bradbury
to mention
Ray Bradbury reference, who wrote Starship Troopers.
Yeah, the Bradbury,
Bradbury Hotel is where someone was at.
No, he didn't write Starship Troopers.
Bradbury wrote the book that's one of my favorites, Fahrenheit 451, which I said needs to be remade. Not in the 70s version that it was, but...
He did say that. Oh! There it is. He did say that, though. You said Heinlein, and you said...
I said twice.
You said Bradbury wrote Starship Troopers, and I corrected you. Now that makes two times.
I know.
I corrected you twice. That's sad for you. You're really losing your edge.
Well, let's talk about the point that really comes with this movie, especially with the new cuts, like this final cut.
Yeah.
Because
I've never seen any other cuts.
Yeah, so...
So drop some knowledge.
Well, I haven't seen a lot of the other cuts.
Drop as much knowledge.
I just know what's different is that the whole him exploring... himself, like looking at the picture, you know, the enhance. They did an enhance.
They sure did.
I want that program. And Edward James almost, he's not even a detective. He's a fetcher. That's what I say. He's a fetcher. He goes out and fetches Harrison Ford. Makes constant origami. Right. Is that what you call him?
Yeah.
Origami figures. They're kind of random throughout the film, but at the very end, he makes one of the unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
And puts it outside Deckard's door, and you know, has a quote like, "She's not gonna live forever, but who does?" You know,
right?
And but we see earlier in the movie that Deckard's dreaming of unicorns.
Yeah.
And real life. The talking, talking to Sean Young or the chick about how all her memories are just fabrications of her daughter, of Tyrell's daughters. When it comes to the big discussion is Harrison Ford, Mr. Deckard himself, Detective Deckard, Blade Runner Deckard, a replicant?
Whoa.
Spoiler alert.
Is he? No, there's no spoiler, because do you know? Does anyone find out?
No, that's the discussion.
Exactly, so that's not a spoiler.
And that's going to be our poll question. I'm going to hijack the poll.
That's our new poll question.
Was he not a replicant?
Was Deckard a replicant?
So that's kind of the great
question
that this brings.
Mark.
Question mark? You question mark?
I did. I questioned Mark about Deckard. Yeah, that's a good poll, though, because for all of those who've seen Blade Runner, who, obviously not Chris Parr, but obviously Manny C, because he put it on his list, weigh in on that. It's for me, just having seen it. Now, we'll weigh in. Let's weigh in on this.
All right, you weigh in.
For me, just having seen it.
You said no at first.
I did, and I'm going to stay with no. And as a first viewer, and not having this question posed to me until the credits rolled by you, so I wasn't thinking about it through the movie, but looking back...
And the funny part is, would you have thought about that if that's how the film ended? Because I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have thought about that until someone, like... told me, like, well, the part about the final cut is that unicorn means, is he really a real cat?
Right.
I wouldn't have even thought about that.
Right. No, I know.
And it's a kind of like thinking man's movie.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, I'm going to use Inception as a somewhat reference.
Yeah.
Like Inception's top at the end. You're told throughout the thing that the top means like reality.
Balls,
yeah.
And,
so, you know, at the end, you're like, oh man, this is a cliffhanger. I would have just saw that and been like, what? You know, like,
yeah.
I would have been confused. So, they don't clearly point out that this is a question.
Right. But yeah, seeing the final cut for the first time before seeing any other cuts, I suppose. I'm going to say no, just because he exhibits too many of the elements that replicants are not supposed to have, which are human emotion. However...
You get human emotion.
But like love, where he's saying, when he's making out with that supposed replicant, he's saying, now you say, kiss me.
Yeah.
And so he's telling her, and then when they're making out later, he's like, or no. Yeah. He's like, I love you. And then she immediately says, I love you too. Which means that she's a replicant, meaning he could be the same. He could have this, you know.
But she's a young replicant. And, you know, 4 years was what was on the Nexus 6.
Right.
But he could be an experimental like she was.
Oh, he definitely could.
And they're talking about how what they did was create a cushion, which is something
The memories.
The memories. Create a cushion for him.
I didn't
and
know.
So,
click that.
Stuff like that, he could be just assuming that he's felt that before.
And that's why there's no prequel.
Yeah, and that's why... And bring him in, he could be the best at what he does because he was one. But then it comes down to, also if you think about it, on the he was not side.
Yeah.
And why was Roy Batty, played wonderfully by Rutger Hauer, by the way.
True.
Did a good job, especially at the end when he started going crazy and howling at the moon and running around without a shirt.
Yeah.
Like, why was he so superior to him?
I'm going to get my first beer. I'm going to get my first beer of the night because you've gotten all my other beers.
So, superior to him, but maybe it's something in your knowledge. If you know you're a replicant, like Roy does, then are you quicker? I mean, are you...
Right.
You don't move at human speed, so to say. I don't know.
Yeah, is there any physical benefit?
I say that my opinion is that Harrison Ford was a replicant.
Wow, so there it is, split.
I just think so.
I like it. I like it.
The special kind of seeking out to get him treatment.
Yeah.
You go first.
Oh, well, thank you. And here is our soundbite. For don't know if you guys
are Harrison.
But there it is.
Fine. Get off my plane.
It's a Harrison Ford joke, guys. It's a Harrison Ford joke. Get off my plane.
That and then the way that he was... The way that the film used the whole... The memories were created and he constantly looked at his pictures. Almost as an only thing he had to remember. Oh, that's for Adam.
That's for Adam. That's a work. deep three.
Yeah, he's drinking bottled beer. We don't welcome that here.
Sorry. Retract that. Get off my plane. Stay on my plane,
yeah,
bitch.
Stay on my plane.
All right. What were you saying?
Before I really that, interrupted. I don't remember what I said. But I think he's a replicant.
Yeah.
It's kind of a twist ending that's not really there. It's not really presented, but it's there.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It is. I like that. I like
Give
that.
Me your rating.
Okay. So off the first
viewing.
First viewing. And I expect to have multiple viewings of this movie.
Well, is it, I mean, this is your first time, is it something you'd like to see again?
It is something I'd like to see again. Because it is complex, and it is something I don't feel like I can get all the small things, yeah, in one, you know, in one sitting. However, I would like to... I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 because on first viewing, it wasn't... Maybe I've had it built up to me. Maybe I have the syndrome that actually critics had when they first saw this, saying it's not that good, even though it's now proclaimed as one of the best sci-fi movies. I understand it's influential. I understand that it is very... You know, it's a great movie from when it came out, but I'm going to give it a 7 because I haven't seen it multiple times and I just, you know, I wasn't drawn in enough to where I can make it any higher than that.
Fair enough.
Your review.
Fair enough.
But it's a 7. I mean, that's high.
That's high. 7
is pretty
high. I mean,
7
is
a passion.
This is a... For being 2 hours, this is a very slow movie, so to say.
It is really slow for actually being under
and,
for an hour and
And it has a lot of action. Like, you can name the action points, but they come in clumps.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
True. Yep. Very, very true.
I'm going to give this 8.5. I really enjoy this movie. Its influence is unparalleled.
We kill Adam.
And I think it's... Very unique. Things have copied it, but its atmosphere and its darkness is what I like to say for it. It's so, you see the sun, but you only see it when it's, you know, rising or setting.
Yeah.
There's no daytime scenes in this.
Right.
It's, you see it right when they're about to go to bed.
That's true, yeah.
Or to end the scene.
Yeah.
But overall, I'll give it 8.5 just because I find it very engaging, very influential, and very good.
Well, there you go.
That's it.
So 7 and an 8.5. Next, what we watched.
What we watched.
Let me go first. I only watched one movie this week.
One movie.
And it was 2001, A Space Odyssey.
It's a good movie to watch during sci-fi week.
I know, it's sci-fi week. Watched it with Kirsten. Excuse me, I watched it with our producer.
Our last co-host.
That's right, our last co-host. You know, she was under the impression before we watched the movie... I guess she kind of felt, and maybe still feels, that older movies aren't as interesting to her. She's not as interested in seeing, you know, a movie from the 60s, a movie from the 50s, a movie from even maybe the 70s, as she isn't seeing a movie that was made, you know, 3 years ago. And so she watched The Graduate with us, and we watched that.
That's true.
Which was good. She liked that. And then I told her to watch this, which is a little more obscure, but I said it's going to be, you know, it's still going to be good. I was very surprised that after sitting through that entire movie, without talking, she came out of it thinking it was good. And so that was... I was very impressed because it's a very obscure, very confusing, especially on first viewing.
That's not the views of our show.
That's right. But I was, you know, I was glad to see that, and but that's what I watched. What did you watch?
First, I'd like to send in our first quote from Brian. Hosted 3 times. Watched our or listened to our episode probably 1 time. Feely. First ever text into CD. That's us, Critical Drinking. I would like to say that I firmly believe the movie you are discussing is incredibly underrated / overrated. I can't believe people like / don't know this movie. Or it shocks / appalls me. That's it. He wanted to quote the
just regardless of the movie that we were watching.
It's awesome or it sucks. It's great. He took both sides. Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate your input. Listen to a show for once, and you can come guest host again.
Ryan, we're actually watching The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yes.
And I think you loved it.
It shocks you. It shocks you. It shocks you.
It's very shocking.
Those pants can fit on every one of those chicks? But Ugly Betty is so much fatter than them.
She really is.
She's too hot. I'd so fuck her.
All right, I think
what I watched.
Yeah, we need to move on.
I watched 4 movies. One of them is a sci-fi movie recommended by Maddie C.
Okay.
Pandorum.
Okay.
It was good, but it was really a mix of Event Horizon and The Descent. There are 2 movies I love, so does that mean it's better? Yeah, Dennis Quaid did a good job of acting scared. He's an actor that's scared since he thought Willie Beeman was taking his job.
Steven Willie Beeman?
He leaves the ladies cream. And it's pretty good. I don't know. Had a lot to be desired. It was just...
I think we'll have a Facebook post about that.
Yeah, Maddie loves Pandorum. And you know what? It's tell good. It was good.
Tell us why we should like it. Why I should actually see it.
See Ryan it because it's something you need to watch once.
Yeah. Okay.
And it has an appearance from Volchek from OC season 3.
Ooh. Volchek.
Another movie I watched is Did you hear about the Morgans?
Oh.
A wonderful movie starring Sarah Jessica Parker and Hugh Grant and Sam Elliott. Went to U of O.
You're an idiot.
And Mary Steinberger. I watch it with my mom.
Oh, okay, good. It's the only excuse you have. Or else...
Look, it's terrible choice. I'm going to sound like a 50-year-old woman here, but I'm a sucker for Hugh Grant.
Oh, my God. You do sound like a 50-year-old woman.
His bumbling idiot, like, little humor he does is so hilarious. I laugh every time.
Hear me slap my forehead on this. Oh, my God.
My wife is a member, Peter. I've been meaning to join. I'm gonna talk comedy. I love it, and I laughed at it. The movie sucked, but Hugh Grant gave it his all.
You're fired.
His all.
You're fired.
His all. It was great. And then my mom told me after I said I love Hugh Grant, he goes, mom is a she, and goes, you should watch Mickey Blue Eyes. That's even funnier. So,
what's the next thing you watch?
Mickey Blue Eyes is gonna be on my next week.
Oh, okay.
I also watched this wonderful, 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 wonderful. I'm circling it 18 times.
You're rehired.
This movie called Dead Snow.
That's right.
Greatest movie I've ever seen. I'm going to make sure that we watch it for Zombie Week because it's about this group of six Austrian teens, you know, doing their shit.
Doing their shit, man.
Getting to a cabin, ready to fuck, drink, and play Twister. And
that sounds like a good movie.
They're attacked by Nazi zombies. And you know that this is... Critical Drinking is a Nazi zombie support hub. Not the Nazi part, the zombie part.
Yeah, the Call of Duty game part.
Yes, the Call of Duty game part.
Well, if they're zombies, that means they've already been killed. So we're supporters of killing
Nazis. Yeah, Nazis.
And then killing them again.
Yes. There's a lot of them, and they attack, and there's a lot of intestines and brains and awesomeness. That's awesome.
So we'll review it. We'll review it.
And my last one I watched was a wonderful movie starring John Voight. No, not Varsity Blues, all you out there.
No, it's not that.
Jennifer Lopez, Ice Cube, and Owen Wilson.
Now they know it.
Anaconda.
Yes!
Great movie.
Yes!
There's two anacondas in this, man. They cap one in the head and it dies. It fucking dies.
But
there's another one. No, it's not anacondas. The Search for the Blood Orchid. But it was awesome. It was great. Ice Cube went gangster on them.
That's right.
Fucking smokestack that anaconda. That's what happened. Got in the smokestack. Sure. We're getting on time limit here, so those are the things I watched. We'll be right back. Goodbye. All right.
Goodbye.
That's awesome. Adam sucks.
Ooh, ooh. I think something must have happened over the break. Something must have happened over the
Adam
break.
Tried
someone's
to
calling someone a D. The other one's saying someone sucks.
Well, it's easy. If you combine them, Adam sucks, Cox and Dicks.
Mm. Wow, well, I guess Ryan is the one with the mic, so he's got...
Stealing Thunder would be Adam's first name if he was in a tribal nation.
All right, top five sci-fi movies.
Without Star Wars or Star Trek.
Without Star Wars or Star Trek.
I'll go first.
That's right. Okay, after you. What's your number five, sir? No, by all means, finish your drink for you.
My number five is a movie that we reviewed.
Whoa, Blade Runner, huh?
No.
Whoa, Moon, huh?
Moon. Directed by Duncan Jones. Came out sometime.
I think it was last year. 2009.
Came out in 2009. This is very, very science fiction-y to me.
Yep.
This is a big word I'm going to use over the next five movies. Space, moon, cloning, spacesuits. Those are the words I associate with this, and I thought it was really well done. In fact, I picked it over Sunshine, as I like better.
That's true.
I think I like Sunshine better. But Sunshine...
was more cliche?
No,
it was formulaic?
It's more of an adventure movie for me than sci-fi, if that makes sense.
That does.
Because he showed up and there was nothing... besides the location.
Yeah.
They were in space.
Yeah.
I mean, if that was underwater, that would be a fantasy movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Sunshine now, after... 30 episodes later. Yeah, I like Sunshine 31. A little better.
Whoa,
but
still does. I mean, he does. He picked the moon, right?
Yeah,
moon.
That's what I'm saying.
Not it.
And, but I think Moon's a better sci-fi movie. And I think it was great sci-fi. I think it's what George Clooney Solaris kind of wanted to be.
Yeah.
With the whole one character, great time. Not great time, but yeah, what about the boat time? But that's my number five.
There you go. My number five is Metropolis.
I've never seen Metropolis.
Metropolis is a classic. And I really respect classic movies. Like classic as in... the, you know, old, like, 60s and earlier cinema.
Is Brazil on your list?
No, it's not, because I've never seen that.
Yeah.
I probably would respect it if I did see it.
The movie came out, like, when, 1934 or something?
Something like that.
Space people eating shit?
Yeah. Well, maybe. But I really respect great classics. I think that great classic movies are kind of like the Beatles. And Ryan, listen up. No matter what you think in some way, all movies that came after those
are influenced by them.
Are influenced by them. And so, I'll take another one as well, please.
All right, I don't want to move my fucking hand.
Hey, I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm just saying. But I think that the movies that are influenced by it are also, like, great classics are also made better because of it. Oh! You squirted all over the computer. That is not what she said. That is what actually happened.
I'm sorry.
That beer.
Sometimes the snap hands sometimes get everywhere.
Yeah, your fault. Put your hand over it like this. Muffle.
I did. If I put my hand over it like this and it still went over there, I need super hands.
Maybe you do. Maybe you should get all super hands in your shit. I think this is a great movie. I watched it in film class in college for the first time ever. And I think it's really, really impressive. And it actually holds up very well. And it is very sci-fi-y, considering it was a 1927 movie.
I've heard that it is very impressive.
27. I mean, that's getting back there before, you know, they even...
World War II. It's before World War II.
Before they were considering what the 2000s would be like.
Great Depression hadn't even fucking ended yet.
That's right, bitch.
President something. What's your number four?
All right. Number four. This might have broken your rules. But this is plenty science fiction-y enough for me. And finally, it can be on my list. Jurassic Park!
That's a good movie!
Jurassic Park is my number four.
I don't know if anyone knows, but I'm a dinosaur and Jurassic Park fan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like...
No, this...
Kevin's asking me to marry him right
this,
now.
Yeah, this, it finally has made my list. I've been looking for an excuse to put it on my list.
Best last, dinosaur movies, that would have been neat.
Last week, I couldn't put it on there because Summer Blockbusters below 80%.
It was 2 weeks ago.
Obviously.
Yeah. So are you saying you're ashamed you haven't seen Jurassic Park? Is that what you're trying to say? You haven't seen Jurassic Park?
No, I'm not trying to say that.
Okay.
I'm trying to say I've seen it, and I've loved it.
That's only like three Every seen time. It. It needs to be at
I've
least
seen it, seen it.
31.
It's exactly what I want out of that kind of movie. I don't love it as much as Ryan. That much is obvious. I don't love it that much. However, I think that it is, for as popcorny and summer blockbuster-y of a movie it is, it's still got a lot of science fiction in there. Obviously it's fiction, because...
Like cloning dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously it's science, because cloning dinosaurs. So it's got enough of that, especially in the beginning, of like explaining like their little ride, explaining how they did it. They obviously thought this was really
exciting. Mr. DNA?
Kind of way. Yeah, Mr. DNA, yeah.
I'm Mr.
It just
DNA.
Extracted out of the amber.
You know what we got here? A brontosaurus. Brontosaurus doesn't exist, Steven Spielberg. Why don't you figure it out and don't put it in there?
Don't worry about it. But I think that it did a really
Thinking
good job.
Thinking machine science computers.
Did a really good job of kind of connecting actual, like, enough science to where you can buy it into total entertainment. That Spielberg does. That's my number four. Ryan, you're number four.
A wonderful bit. My number four is a movie that was mentioned earlier today. It came out in February, so it doesn't count.
Really?
Pitch Black.
Oh, that earlier.
What did you think? Scott Pilgrim vs. the Universe?
Jurassic Park would be a number.
I'm not at number one yet, so you don't know that for sure. Pitch Black is... the sci-fi movie of the last 10 years. I don't know when it came out, so I'm going to say the last 10 years.
Safe.
It's a shame that my number 3 sequel, Summer Blockbuster, came out to it, because it made it more mainstream. This was just a one-and-done movie. I mean, I still like that sequel, let's be honest. But if this was just a one-and-done movie, I think it would rise up the charts.
Yeah.
It was so well done. It was such a great idea.
It was a good idea.
Monsters only coming out at night on this planet, and then This made Vin Diesel's career. Good thing he went and ran with it with such great movies as Mr. Diesel Nanny. What was that? The Pacifier.
The Fast and the Furious.
The Pacifier.
Or no, just Fast and Furious. The sequel. The threequel.
This movie was fun. It was kind of creepy at some points.
Fourquel, actually. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Got four quells over here.
Still,
science fiction.
Still slopping up your remnants of Keystone Light.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it. I like to share.
Puddles.
This, to me, is science fiction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
The monsters, it's on another planet, the crash landing.
I mean, I would argue it's almost fantasy.
Why?
Because it's on another planet, it's not realistic.
But they're coming from Earth, it's not like...
No, but that's pitch black.
Yeah.
Chronicles of Riddick is fantasy.
I'd say Chronicles of Riddick is fantasy as well.
Okay.
But I would not say pitch black.
No, yeah, okay, we're on the same page.
So I'm going to go my number three.
Yeah, sorry for interrupting your number four, by the way.
Holy fucking shit, it's a dinosaur. Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
Yes!
Well, we're gonna put that on here. You know what? I felt bad because I think there are better science fiction movies than this, but I don't think there are better movies than this.
That's right.
Jurassic Park is... It's the greatest time I've ever had in my life. When my mom covered my eyes at the Dilophosaurus scene because she read the book and Dinsnedry's intestines got eaten by the 25-foot Dilophosaurus, she needed to make a better calculation and realize that the Dilophosaurus in this movie was only about 4 feet tall. He could...
intestines.
So I had to go see this another time, and then another time without Mr. Mummy. Mr. Mummy again. The second time I referred to my mom as a guy.
That's true.
Catherine is so sweet. She is definitely a woman.
A saint. A 9.9 saint because Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint. I love this movie. The only reason it's not higher is because... This is considered science fiction, but to me it's not very science fictiony. As I said, I would say this a lot.
Yeah, right.
But I had to muscle this one in there, at least get it in there. Because this is probably like number two on my list of all time movies that aren't Terrence Malick movies and Darren Aronofsky movies, and if the 6 Star Wars is counted as one, this would probably be number 2 or 3 after Amelie, because I like that movie a lot.
That's a ton of qualifications for your second pick.
Well, listen, there's a lot of qualifications. It happens. He's awesome. It does use science.
It does.
Sadly, it's not as good as the book. I read the book after I saw this. I was a little depressed.
I don't make those mistakes.
But still fucking awesome. Right. That's my number 3. It would be my number 0, as in better than everything else, if I had no conscience. Go ahead to you, Kevin.
Okay. My number 3 is a tie. One of them has been mentioned, but not really mentioned.
Sunshine?
A tie, yeah. The tie for my number 3 is Sunshine and Event Horizon.
That's a good...
These... Aren't they pretty much the same movies?
They are, but one went the scary route, the other one went the...
better movie route. Exactly. That's exactly what I was just going to say. One of them went the route of being kind of a horror movie.
Fucking kudos, dude. You got enough balls to put Event Horizon on it?
Damn right I do.
No, I was saying kudos because I want to put that on my list. I just didn't have enough. No, it's not my. It's not one of my last two.
It can't be Jurassic Park. It can't be Jurassic Park.
Good word.
But yeah, Sunshine and Event Horizon are my two. I really think these are great.
I don't know. Maybe if I pulled a tie card, I could put one at number 5.
Hey,
I'm giving you a compliment, and then I'm telling you, you suck. It happens.
Back up, man. You're on the other side of the table. You don't make me come over there and smack you with your own mic.
You got long arms.
You have your own mic
already.
All right.
Part 2.
I've expressed my love for Sunshine in episode 1. I picked Sunshine over Moon, I believe.
Like I said, I think you did, and I picked Moon at the last instant.
Damn it. However, I hold Event Horizon in the same... in the same league as Sunshine, because it is essentially the same movie, almost the entire movie.
The first half of Event Horizon is like a masterpiece. It's like something that
it's really good, and that's how I creepy. Feel. That's how I feel about Sunshine too.
Yeah,
Sunshine is a masterpiece until the third act when they decide that they need to have
the crazy captain
come back onto the ship. I feel like it's so perfect. That's why it's my number 3. I will just say that Event Horizon, it could easily show up on one of my movies, one of my lists in October.
Because it scared the freaking pants off me.
It is scary. It is. I mean, Sunshine's. I would say Sunshine's a better movie. I would say Event Horizon is 100 times more scary, though.
Yeah. Because
it goes for that horror aspect.
I was looking at the reviews because I was comparing that and Pandorum because they have a lot.
Looking
at the reviews of Event Horizon, like, in almost all the reviews, like the bad reviews, I looked at the good reviews. And I was like,
yeah,
pretty awesome. But the bad reviews are like, the great beginning ends with the, gory, it was all about, but almost, I'd say 90% of them all were the great first half ended with this.
Yep.
But the last half ends up as a 9-inch nails.
Yeah. If you can forgive it for its flaws, then.
Yeah, and it was still scary as shit. Yeah. When they show what hell's supposed to be and like arms coming out of mouths and stuff like that, I'm like, fucking is scary as well.
It's great.
Jason Isaacs insides on the medical table.
That's right.
It's scary. Good pick. I like it. Good pick.
I attribute.
When's the first time you saw it? Did I show you the first time?
Yeah, you took my cherry on Event Horizon.
And other things. Kidding.
Pop like popcorn. Anyways, but yeah, Event Horizon, it's that scene in Event Horizon where, like, he's kind of slowly climbing through the corridors to, like, find the person who he's chasing. Made me as afraid as the Sunshine scene when in Sunshine they are, like, well, First of all, disclaimer. Let me say this. Event Horizon, much scarier.
Yes.
Much scarier. However, it reminded me of the scene in Sunshine when they are, Pinbacker is...
That end scene, that's what you're talking about, right?
Well, it's when... No. It's when Pinbacker is... He's not necessarily known yet.
Oh,
but the scene where... They find out that someone has slit, like that. Okay, they find the guy who made the mistake in the the Earth Room or whatever, and he's dead. And then they realize that, wait a minute, he didn't kill himself.
Yes.
Like it's similar. In. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that those movies are very similar.
They're
now that
super
we're
similar.
But I saw both of those by myself. And I think that the direction is at the very beginning is that you both mates because I saw Event Horizon first, obviously.
Yeah.
I saw it first.
Well, me too.
But you think, all right, something scary is going to happen.
Yeah.
And Event Horizon, something scary did happen.
Yeah.
And Sunshine, nothing good happened.
No.
But it wasn't exactly terrifying.
Here's what I meant to say is that Sunshine. When that scene in Event Horizon, when he was, creeping through the corridors, the scene that I meant to say, the scene that I meant to say was when they went onto the Icarus 2.
Yes.
That's what I meant to say. When that, the little flash, and they're alone, and then the scene on the table of, wait, that was Event Horizon, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
See? They're so similar, we're getting all mixed up. All right.
No, what's going on?
I combined number 3.
What's your number 2?
Number 2. John, in our feedback, John said that that no complete list could not have Solaris on it. I think that no complete list could not have my number 2 on it, The Matrix.
Oh, it's a good movie.
I think that...
That's such a good movie.
I think that The Matrix was revolutionary not only in its effects, but it was pretty influential in how it dealt with sci-fi and how the ideas it kind of proposed as far as, is this real life? David F. Dennis. That's a Matrix parody.
It is.
I mean, afterwards...
Is this real?
After this movie, I was like, okay, I kind of had to second guess reality because it connected with me so much. It's a great movie. I think it's an incredible sci-fi movie. That's all I really want to say about it. Your number two.
A wonderful, wonderful movie. It was going to be on my list. It's not on my list. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
It's not on my list, but it's very sci-fi. And what I think about it most was that the beginning hatred I almost had for it because it was a much better 1999 movie than Phantom Menace was.
Yeah.
It came out, and they both came out, but start realizing. And then you saw the shit sequels that came out with it, so it kind of downplayed it.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
But the Matrix 1 itself was very revolutionary. And that is sci-fi. It's almost like a... It's like a... Not nerdy sci-fi, but it's like a whole different sci-fi. It's not the space sci-fi that...
For me, that's in the realm of sci-fi.
Oh, it is. It is. I totally agree that it's sci-fi. I'm just saying that, to me, it's a whole different kind of sci-fi. Like, sci-fi, to me, is like space.
Yeah.
Science fiction space. This was like computers, you know? It's a whole different kind of science fiction, and it makes total sense. I consider it sci-fi as well.
Yeah.
I'm not questioning that at all. I'm just saying that... I was that. It's just it was different than what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with my number two.
Which
is the most entertaining movie of all time. As I've said before. Not Kiss of Death, Adam. Jeez.
I was down by 10.
Aliens. Aliens.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
Aliens. It had to be on here. It's the most entertaining movie of all time. I've gone on a rant for this for best sequels. It's science. I think Alien may be more science fiction-y. But Aliens has just enough science fiction in it to be kick-ass awesome, and it's great, and that's my number.
It's built on sci-fi, so you can't really... I mean, how can a sequel to a sci-fi movie...
That includes destroying aliens constantly on a far-off planet. It's just going to be simple as that. That's my number two, and my number one...
Yeah.
...is this movie we just watched.
He did it.
I have to me, this is science fiction. If there's a picture of science fiction I have in my mind, it is this. I talked about earlier about kind of the idea of what the future is going to be, especially when the idea of the future, like right now, we don't think about the future. You know, the 90s, we don't think about the future. We don't go like, in the year 2025, we're going to have this. But in the 2000s.
That's right. Roman will no longer be a late night host.
He's a TBS late night host.
Sorry, I had him do it.
Anyways,
sorry. Go. Rudely
but in the late 50s or the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, they had this idea. I mean, a lot of stuff was. Like, consumed thought, written about the future. What's going to happen in the year 2000? Because 2000 was such a round number.
Yeah, it's, yep.
You know, it's like, we got flying cars, we have this. Like, I don't know if you guys are Dick fans out there. Well, old Dick fans. Old they used to have, one of the most Doug posts was like, what we thought the future would look like in 1970, like these paintings, or what it would look like. And it was
great.
Like, science fiction in the future was a whole kind of different thing then.
Totally.
And this is what captures it perfectly. So to me, this is science fiction. Just, and they even put a dark tone on it. And all those paintings kind of have a dark tone on them. It's usually like, look at this really cool, awesome building with like 17 levels that are awesome in the middle of the desert. Like, they kind of all have like a 70% cool future look to a 30%. The reason it's in the future is because we just got done with the nuclear holocaust. And that's kind of what this movie does. It's not happy. It's not like, oh, we're in the future. Everyone's having flying cars, we're having a good time. It's rainy Los Angeles. Global warming has taken over, and it rains constantly in L.A.
And it sucks.
And it sucks. And that's my number one. To me, it's perfect sci-fi. It's perfect sci-fi. And there's a reason that a lot of people put it number one as well, is that
it's perfect sci-fi. I couldn't put it on my list.
Yeah, no, I don't. After one viewing, my plan was Adam.
Adam gets another one. All right, my number one. Surprised it wasn't on your list. But then again,
there's so many sci-fi movies. I'm surprised. This could have been a top 10.
Beetlejuice.
This could have been a Beetlejuice was number one.
No, that's Adam. Adam saying Beetlejuice.
If I had a top 10 list, I'd still feel bad.
Whatever.
What is it?
My number one is somewhat predictable. If
I got an idea.
2001: A Space Odyssey is my number one.
It's a great movie.
Ryan could have predicted it because I watched it last night. And it's not just because I watched it last night that it's my number one. It probably would have been my number one anyways. This kind of solidified it that I watched it last night.
Oh, it's such a step in the right direction for everything.
It's first of all, it was made in 1968, which is long before a lot of this really futuristic sci-fi kind of came out. Second, it was written by Arthur C. Clarke and Stanley Kubrick. Arthur C. Clarke is a great sci-fi mind.
He's no Philip K. Dick, but he's actually really, really close and maybe better. I'm just saying that.
And then you add Kubrick and you get the crazy, you know, very... I don't even know. Kubrick. That's the adjective I have for him.
Kubricky.
Very
we got science fiction-y. We got Kubricky.
Kubrickian, yeah. There's a lot of reasons why I think this is the number one. I think the storytelling, as far as... I mean, first of all, this movie on paper has a great story. In action, like on screen, it's really confusing. But on paper, the story of evolution that it has is really, really strong. And you can see it throughout the movie. You just have to assume that that's what he's going for. Right. Yeah, seriously. And then the monolith comes. And then the monkeys learn how to beat each other to death. And then you just assume they're humans. And then the humans find the monolith. And they're like, what? And then it sends out this beam to Jupiter saying, hey, they found it! And they're like, ah! And then you just assume that, you know, it's 1,000 years later, and there's a Jupiter team going to Jupiter. And they go, and then the whole HAL, you know, human versus computer part happens,
Kevin
which I think is the best part of the movie.
Kevin Spacey.
The best part of the movie is the HAL part. Because HAL may be one of the greatest villains of all time.
I think it's unquestionably one of the best science fiction movies.
And then you go out,
put it on there sometimes, right? Because to me, it's so in the box. It's outside the box. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's so in the box. It's so outside the box.
It is. It is cliche. But I'm gonna defend it.
Because, well, I mean, you should. I mean, it's one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah.
It's just like it's there and it influenced so much. It's like, well, I can't put that on this. Like saying like the most. Like I don't.
It's like Star Trek. Star Wars.
I don't. I don't believe in God, but it's like saying one of the best books ever is the Bible. All right. Yeah. It probably is. Like,
however,
one of the best books ever. But
this says nah, Bible.
Yeah. No. I know. I'm saying that. And like I think the Bible's stupid, but. But you know, that's like saying that, you know, and that's and when we're talking about sci-fi, and that's just kind of one of the reasons I kept it off. But I can understand it ultimately should be number one.
Like this movie, this movie has such, I mean, it's got so much to think about and so much for you to, you know,
ponder.
Kinda, ponder while it's moving. as slow as a slug. You know what I mean? It's so paced.
It made Blade Runner look like a sprint.
It really did. It made Blade Runner look like Blade Sprinter. This is so slow and so deliberately paced, but it really has you thinking the whole time. The concept is very epic. And visually, it won an Oscar for effects. Visually, it is incredible. I watched it on Blu-ray. It is even more incredible that they did this in 1968 and not in 2000. Because there are studios right now that still can't do this.
It's
very, very clean. But the number one reason why this is my number one, not only because of the great story that I think is really epic among sci-fi stories even, is that this is so influential for every sci-fi movie. You watch any sci-fi movie, you're getting shades of 2001. You're getting a look that 2001 had. You're getting, you know, an eyeball shot like Blade Runner had that 2001 had.
So there weren't any dinosaurs in 2001. That's why Jurassic Park is number
one.
Now, it may have been number four on his list and number three on my list. That's just because, you know what? Sometimes the champion needs to get brought down a peg.
That's true. But that is my number one. What are your honorable mentions?
That's a great pick. I mean, we have to be honest. We each picked one that would be considered, that multiple people consider the best.
Number one and number one on two people's lists, definitely.
That's a good quote. I like that. Our honorable mentions include Sunshine, which we talked about. Event Horizon, which we talked about.
Yep.
I love Event Horizon. Let's be honest. Yeah. That is a great movie. For all of you out there that haven't seen it.
See it.
Really borrow it. See it.
Have the special edition.
Its reviews don't calculate up to it. And then I heard the story about how they scrapped the whole script because it was too gory and too scary, and they redid it. And I wanna see that movie.
Seriously, dude.
We talked earlier about, for me, the kind of category of it's science fiction, but it's not science fiction-y enough.
Right.
Like we said, Inception and Eternal Sunshine, and one I'd like to throw in there is Children of Men.
That's a lot of people think that's a great science fiction movie.
I would, if
it's on that if I would fringe, though.
If I would calculate it as a science fiction movie, it would have been in my top three.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I don't think it's science fiction-y enough.
Yeah, exactly. As I'd like to say. Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
You're right. I'm surprised neither of us had T2.
It's on my honorable mentions as well.
It's a great movie.
I just feel like I've talked about it so much.
And it's also like a present day. It's so weird.
It's
a hard thing to calculate.
It's very
realistic
science. Yeah. It's like science fiction, except when you pull a guy's face off, he's a robot.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
The only science fiction
that's
part.
That's the only part.
Yeah.
Alien.
Yep.
I mean, District 9 is a great movie. That's a great fucking movie.
Wow, why don't you read my top? Why don't you read my honorable mentions for me?
Fifth Element, which I just got reminded of, and I love that movie. But like you said, I guess it really is more fantasy.
It's more fantasy. It's totally.
It doesn't explain to you how this kind of why you're in the state you are. Right. You're just kind of there.
It's not like nothing relates to Earth. Nothing relates to reality. It's just.
Heinlein's Starship Troopers.
Damn right.
Great movie.
Damn right.
Johnny Rico is cool, but Dizzy's tits are even better.
By the way, Diz in the book.
I can almost say that right now that like most of the first tits are like deviant first tits that me or my friends have seen, like, gone out of the way and been like, I'm getting this movie so I can see some titties. Dizzy's tits.
Yep.
Thank you, Diz. Dina Meyer, you're awesome. You played Klingon in Star Trek Generations.
That's
awesome.
Right.
You blew up.
That's right.
Dark City.
I have not seen Dark City yet.
It's a great... Alex Proyas, great movie. Great. Good time. Dark. It's really dark, like as in it's always dark. Fun movie. I don't know. I just couldn't put it on my list.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And my last but not least, kind of weird one, but it is science fiction.
Yeah.
Wall-E.
It is science fiction. That's on my, okay. So we'll start that as my honorable mentions that I put on my list. Wall-E is there. District 9, Terminator 2, Alien,
sorry,
Moon.
You let me go first.
Moon. Yeah, they're all on. You've already talked about all that. I thought District 9 was surprisingly good, though. I want to just say that that is surprisingly good.
Well,
seen
got nominated
9,
for Best Picture, but they also gave 10 nominations.
But,
seriously,
what's
the point of
see District 9? It's
what's the point of that, like,
more money for the movies.
They didn't want
so that they can re-release and go back out in the theaters. My last one is E.T., which I grew up as a kid loving. I haven't seen it in a long time because, to be honest, as a kid, it kind of traumatized me. For
what you mean,
like,
it's
very
in that
very scary.
Gets captured and
yeah. But that's my honorable mention list. Ryan already went over it, so
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna go with my shout out first. We're going shout outs, and I'm gonna go with mine first because you're gonna jump me on this one as well. My shout out is to a Oregon victory tomorrow over Portland State.
The Vikings.
68. No. 70 even. 210.
That's great. I didn't have a shout out prepared, but it would go to the Oregon Duck football team. There's nothing to shout out about right now. What can I say? That's just how it's going to go. I'm not watching any TV shows right now. Well, no, I'm not watching any TV shows right now. That sucks. All right, take it easy.
There you go.
Nation.
We're about done with this, so we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.